Thanks, Joel. Morning, folks. Good to see you, as always. We're turning to Mark's Gospel. As you know, we're doing this series, working our way through Mark's Gospel. And just as you're turning there, just to remind those who came out last Sunday night to the baptism and membership classes, if you want to move forwards with that, we're having a baptismal service on the 9th of November in the evening. If you want to move forward with baptism, then please come and speak to me over the next week or two. And likewise, if you want to make an application for membership, come and speak to me and we can chat further about that. But we're in Mark's Gospel today. We're going to finish it off. Chapter 1, we're not finishing the Gospel off, just chapter 1. Got ahead of myself there. Last week we were looking at the snapshots of God's kingdom, life in God's kingdom. And in a lot of ways we could have included this last section of chapter 1. But I didn't do that intentionally, because here in this last section and this story that we have here of Jesus cleansing this leper is a beautiful picture of the Gospel. And so I intentionally didn't include it so that we could focus on it specifically this morning. So Mark chapter 1, reading from verse 40 down to verse 45. God's word says, "And a leper came to him," that's to Jesus, "imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will, be clean.' And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." This is the word of God. I'll just pray very briefly. Father, help us as we come to your word this morning to hear your voice. Lord, may you teach us through this simple story the beautiful good news of the gospel, so that any who don't know you as Lord and Savior this morning might find salvation in Jesus Christ, the one who brings cleansing from sin, and so that those who know you already as Lord and Savior might be reminded of the wonder of salvation, the beautiful good news of the gospel, and that we might be enthused to go and to share that with others. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I wonder, have you ever watched the BBC program, The Repair Shop? It's a really simple idea, yet it strikes a deep chord with those who watch it. People basically bring in broken, worn-out items that seem beyond repair. Maybe an old radio that hasn't worked in years, a torn teddy bear from childhood, or a piece of furniture that has been in the family for generations. I think King Charles actually appeared on one stage on this program. And the experts listen carefully to the story behind each item, and then they get to work. Not just fixing the object, but restoring it to what it used to be. And what makes the show so moving is that is the final moment when the owner sees their precious item for the first time. In fact, they're often moved to tears, because it's not just about the object itself. It's about the memories and the sense of something important to them that is broken, and yet it has been made whole again. Well, as we come to Mark's Gospel here, we meet a man whose life was completely shattered, not by a broken object, but by a broken body. He was suffering from leprosy, an illness that not only left him physically disfigured, but an illness that would have left him socially, emotionally, and spiritually cut off. To everyone else, he was beyond repair. But then he met Jesus, the Savior, and his life was changed. His body was healed, his status restored, his life was made whole again. And what I want us to see this morning as we think about this account is that this isn't just a story about one man's restoration. It's a picture of the gospel itself. For in the same way as Jesus restored this broken leper, he is able to restore us from the brokenness of our sin. Let me show you what I mean as we work our way through these verses of three simple headings, and if you're taking notes, they'll help you. So firstly, let's think about a bold approach, verse 40. I want to take you back to 2020 for a few moments and remind you about COVID. Sorry, I know we hate hearing about this, but I want to remind you about it for a few minutes, and you're going to understand why. Because when we found ourselves in the heart of the pandemic, life was very different, wasn't it? We were told to stay at home and to socially distance ourselves from family and friends. We had to wear face coverings in public and sanitize our hands continuously. Then if we tested positive for COVID, we had to self-isolate. And of course, the whole purpose in these regulations was to avoid a wider outbreak of the disease. Well, I want you to keep those memories in mind as we think about this leper. For in the ancient world, leprosy was one of the most feared diseases because it was thought to be highly contagious, easily spread, and there was no known cure. Now, the disease itself was horrible. It would have spread through the body, damaging the nerves and causing painful sores in the process, which eventually led to tumor-like swellings, deterioration of the bones, damage to the internal organs, and the loss of limbs. And because of this, leprosy was often viewed as a death sentence. For not only did this disease cut you off from society, but very few people actually recovered from it. So in order to protect his people from outbreaks, God had given certain regulations to Moses regarding how cases of infection were to be dealt with. We read about this in Leviticus chapter 13. This is what we were told. The leprous person who has the disease shall wear torn clothes and let the hair of his head hang loose, and he shall cover his upper lip and cry out, "Unclean, unclean." He shall remain unclean as long as he has the disease. He is unclean. He shall live alone. His dwelling shall be outside the camp. Doesn't that sound very familiar to our experience during COVID? Because we're told here that the leprous person was expected to wear a face covering, to go into quarantine outside the camp, and to ensure there was always a measure of social distancing by crying out, "Unclean, unclean," in order to warn people to stay away from them. By Jesus' day, in fact, the rabbis had specified that those with leprosy had to remain 100 cubits away from others if they were upwind, which is around 150 feet in our measurements, and 4 cubits if they were downwind, around 6 feet in our measurements. In some ways, therefore, we should be able to imagine what this must have been like. But I suppose the big difference is that while we went through this experience of COVID together at the same time, the leper went through it on their own. And so it must have been a terribly lonely experience. Imagine it. Imagine having to come out of your house with this disheveled appearance and to have to shout, "Unclean, unclean," everywhere you went. You can imagine the look of disgust on people's faces and the scurrying of feet as people try to get away from you. Not only were you robbed of your health, but you were considered a social outcast. Not able to be with your family. If you were married, you couldn't be with your husband or wife. You couldn't be with your children. You couldn't be with your friends. You couldn't work. You couldn't be in the working environment. You couldn't be among your worshiping community. Imagine it. Well, with this background in mind, it helps us to understand why this was such a bold approach by this leper. Because we're told in the text that he came to Jesus, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." You see, under God's law, a leper was forbidden from being in close contact with other people. And yet here we find this leper drawing near enough to Jesus that he could speak to him. That's a bold approach. He was essentially breaking all the rules just so that he could speak to Jesus. And as we consider his approach and the words he actually said, it teaches us a few things about his mindset. Firstly, I think it shows the confidence he had in Jesus' ability to help him. Otherwise, he wouldn't have broken the rules. He wouldn't have made this effort. And so in light of what he had heard about Jesus, he clearly thought, this is worth taking the risk. Secondly, we see this man's reverence as he knelt before Jesus, recognizing something different in him. Thirdly, he came in humility. Notice he said to Jesus, "If you will, you can make me clean." And so while this leper had confidence in Jesus' ability to heal him or to help him, he didn't come proudly assuming that he would. So there's obviously a sense in which he knew he didn't deserve Jesus' help. And then fourthly, this man came in faith. He didn't say to Jesus, "Can you make me clean?" Instead, he said, "You can make me clean." So there's clearly the belief on this leper's part, Jesus has the power, he has the authority to deliver him. And yet there's something more significant that we need to focus on here. I wonder, did you notice that this man didn't ask Jesus to heal him? Instead, he asked him to make him clean. Why? Because under the Mosaic law, a leper wasn't just physically sick. They were also regarded as being ceremonially unclean. And this had consequences. It meant they were barred from assembling with God's people for public worship. So this illness not only had physical and social implications, it also had spiritual implications. With this in mind, it's really not surprising that rabbis spoke of lepers as the living dead. Because this really was a death sentence, separating you from everything so that you might live on your own. Well, as we read this account, it's very easy to feel sorry for this leper and to think to yourselves, how awful it must have been to live like that. And it would have been. But Mark wants us to see something deeper here. You see, in Scripture, Leprosy isn't just a disease. It's also a picture of the spiritual condition of every human heart. For just as leprosy spread through the body, slowly corrupting and disfiguring everything it touches, sin does the same to us. It spreads through our whole being, corrupting and infecting our attitudes, our thoughts, our words, and our actions. And just as leprosy made a person ceremonially unclean and unfit to worship God, sin makes us spiritually unclean and unfit to be in relationship with God. I mean, we read in Isaiah 59, your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you. And so in the same way as leprosy was a death sentence, sin is described in Scripture as a death sentence. We're told in Romans 6 that the wages of sin is death. So the tragedy of this leper's condition is actually the tragedy of every human heart. That's what Mark wants us to see. For in our sin, we are defiled, we are unclean, we are separated, we are unfit to approach God. We are under the sentence of death. And so in the same way as this man needed to be cleansed from his leprosy, we need to be cleansed from our sin. You see, while leprosy was considered the most fearful disease in the ancient world, the truth is it has nothing on the disease of sin. For by nature, every one of us is infected by sin, and this leaves us in an utterly hopeless condition because there is nothing we can do, there is nothing we can say that will cleanse us. If you're a Christian, this is a vivid reminder of what we once were. That was until Jesus came to graciously rescue us. And this should inevitably produce praise and thanksgiving within us. But if you're not a Christian this morning, it's important that you grasp how this man's condition is a picture of your current condition and your sin. You're broken. You're unclean. You're unfit to worship God. And it's only when you're confronted with that bad news that you'll come to appreciate the good news of the gospel, the fact that Jesus Christ can change your life. And that's where we're moving on to next. So we see a bold approach in verse 40. Then in verses 41 and 42, we see a compassionate touch. Let me bring you back to those days of COVID again. For when most of us were told to keep safe by isolating, there were doctors, nurses, and carers who didn't stay away. Day after day, they went into hospital wards and homes, knowing they were exposing themselves to real danger. And yet they willingly did it because their compassion for the sick was greater than their fear of infection. Well, that willingness to draw near when everyone else is stepping back ought to give us a glimpse of what's happening here. For after this leper approached Jesus, we're told in verse 41, let's read it, that being moved with pity, Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him. When most people, in fact, all people, would have recoiled in disgust at this man, Jesus moved towards him with compassion. And his actions were significant because under the Mosaic law, Jews were forbidden from touching a leper. The reason for this was because it would make them ceremonially unclean as well. And yet Jesus reaches across this huge religious chasm to touch this unclean leper. Why? For we've seen in Mark's gospel so far that there were many other occasions when Jesus healed someone just through the word of his mouth. He didn't touch them, he just spoke and they were healed. Why didn't he do that here? Well, because through this compassionate touch, Jesus was illustrating something. His willingness to enter this man's uncleanness so that he could bring him cleansing. That's why Jesus went on to say, I will be clean. You see, unlike ordinary men, Jesus wasn't defiled. He wasn't made unclean by touching this leper. Rather, the leper was made clean. This is why we're told in verse 42 that immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. Just imagine that. Put yourself in his shoes for a moment. Through this compassionate yet authoritative touch, this man's defilement was immediately removed. What a beautiful picture of the cleansing power of Jesus. And this is the heart of the gospel. You see, as I said earlier, leprosy is a picture of sin in Scripture. Like this leper, we are defiled, we are unclean, we are separated, we are under the sentence of death. And yet in the same way as Jesus drew near to this leper with love and compassion, he is also drawn near to us. How do we know that? Well, because he willingly came from the glories of heaven to this broken world in the flesh of a man. But even more than that, he willingly went to the cross to take our uncleanness upon himself and to bear the penalty for that sin by laying down his life for us. And because of his substitutionary sacrifice, we are now able to be cleansed from our sin and reconciled to God. For when we come to Jesus and fall before him in confidence and reverence and humility and faith, just like this leper did, he will bring us cleansing from our sin. That's what Mark wants us to see here. And so if you're not a Christian this morning, I urge you to receive this cleansing from your sin by coming to Jesus. No matter who you are, no matter what lies in your past, no matter what your background is or what you have done, if you come to Jesus today in repentance and faith, he will cleanse you from your sin and clothe you in his righteousness. And that will make you acceptable to God, able to worship him forevermore. And if you are a Christian, then this account should remind us again of the beauty of our salvation. The fact that even though we deserve nothing but eternal judgment in our sin, that we have been cleansed from it, clothed in righteousness and blessed with eternal life. It's a beautiful reminder that Jesus has compassionately touched us in our uncleanness, making us righteous before a holy God, restoring our broken relationship. And again, this should inevitably lead to thanksgiving in our hearts and praise from our lips. But secondly, this account also reminds us of the ongoing compassion of Jesus in our lives. Because even though we're saved from our sin, and you know this as well as I do, we are in a daily battle. A daily battle between the old nature of the flesh, the new nature of the spirit. We won't know that reality of fullness of our salvation until we're glorified in Christ, set free from sin once and for all. We still live in sinful bodies. We still dwell on a sinful earth. And so that battle is raging within us every day. And you know as well as I do that we still succumb to temptation and fall into sin. We still face the struggles of living in a broken world. And yet in the midst of it all, isn't it wonderful to know that Jesus remains compassionate towards us? Not only does he never cast us aside in our sinful failure, which we deserve, but he also invites us to confidently draw near to God's throne of grace in his name, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in those times of need. And then thirdly, this account ought to challenge us about our need to show love and compassion to all people around us. You see, when most people would have recoiled in disgust at this man, Jesus was moved with pity and he drew near to him with love and compassion. And so the question we need to ask ourselves as Christians is this: are we willing to do the same? Are we willing to pray for and draw near to all kinds of people with love and compassion, even those whom most people avoid? All people need the gospel, not just people like us. The alcoholics need the gospel, the drug addicts, the homeless, the mentally ill, the refugees, those living in poverty, those struggling with their sexuality. They all need the gospel. Jesus didn't turn away from the outcasts of his day. Neither should we as his people. So we see a bold approach, we see a compassionate touch, and then lastly, I want us to see a beautiful exchange, verses 43 to 45. As we read on, we see that Jesus gave this cleansed man two clear instructions. In fact, Mark tells us that he sternly charged him to obey them. Firstly, Jesus said, "See that you say nothing to anyone." That would have been hard, wouldn't it? I mean, this guy's life had been transformed. After years of isolation, he could finally rejoin his family, his community, his place of worship. That's the kind of thing you'd want to shout from the rooftops and tell everyone. And yet Jesus tells this man, keep it to yourself. Why? Well, remember what we considered last week, when Jesus' disciples came to him in the wilderness and said to him, everyone is looking for you. He told them that the reason he had come out was to preach the gospel. But as his reputation spread, crowds were coming to him for miracles, not for his message about the kingdom. They wanted temporary healing, not eternal salvation. And so Jesus commands silence here to prevent further misunderstanding. He didn't want people to see him as this miracle worker, but as the Savior who had come to deal with sin. And so Jesus sternly charged this man not to tell anyone what had happened. Then secondly, he said, but go, show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them. Now, by asking this man to do this, Jesus was showing his high regard for the law of Moses and his desire to honor it. You see, the priests were charged with ensuring the ritual cleanliness of Israel. And so they were responsible for inspecting cases of leprosy and making pronouncements of uncleanness or cleanness. We read in Leviticus 14, you can do that in your own time, that if a priest saw an individual who'd been truly cleansed from their leprosy, they were commanded to present two birds as offerings. One was killed, and the other was dipped into the blood of the sacrificed bird, and then it was released. And then after 8 days, they were to bring three lambs. One as a sin offering, one as a guilt offering, and one as a whole offering. These were the cleansing rituals that Jesus wanted this man to obey, not only in obedience to the law, but also in formally restoring him to community. So Jesus not only sternly charged this man to tell no one what had happened, but also to follow the procedure set out by the Mosaic law. And yet, what do we read in verse 45? We're told, but he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the good news. Now, in one sense, you might be tempted to say, go on, you boy, good on you. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to share the gospel. Good on you. We could learn from him. But don't forget what Jesus had commanded. He had told this man not to share the good news, but to go straight to the priest. Therefore, as sincere as his intentions were, this man's enthusiasm was misguided as he disobeyed Jesus' command. He loved what Jesus had done for him, but he didn't yet understand what it meant to follow Jesus as Lord. And his actions had consequences, because as Mark shows us, it meant that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places. His disobedience hindered Jesus' mission, for it was now harder for him to move about freely to preach the gospel. But there's something else happening here, something subtle and yet deeply significant. You see, at the beginning of the story, the leper was on the outside, isolated, rejected, and unclean. Jesus, on the other hand, was on the inside, surrounded by people, freely preaching the gospel. But now, at the end of the story, their positions are reversed. The man is now on the inside, restored to society and fellowship, whereas Jesus is now on the outside in desolate places. And so do you see what Mark's showing us here? He's showing us the gospel in miniature. That Jesus came to trade places with sinners. That's what the cross is all about, because on the cross, Jesus took our uncleanness upon himself. The clean became unclean so that the unclean might be made clean. Jesus bore our sin, our shame, and our punishment so that through faith in him alone, we might be cleansed and restored to fellowship with the Father. He was treated as the leper so that we could be treated as sons and daughters. Or as Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 5, for our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This passage began with a man whose life was broken beyond repair. Yet when he came to Jesus, everything changed. In that moment, his defilement was gone. His shame was lifted, and his life was restored. That's the gospel. The good news of what Jesus came from heaven to earth to do. It's the story of how Jesus meets us in our uncleanness. Not with disgust, but with compassion and a cleansing touch. It's the story of how he takes our place outside the camp, bearing our sin so that we might be welcomed home. Maybe this morning you feel like that leper, too stained by failure, too broken by regret, too far gone for God to ever want you. But I want you to know that Jesus is not repelled. Instead, he's both willing and able to make you clean. All you need to do is come to him in faith, just as the leper did. For when you come before Jesus in repentance of your sin, trusting that he alone is able to cleanse you from it, you know what he'll say to you? I will be clean. He'll not only cleanse you from your sin, but he'll clothe you in his righteousness. And if you already belong to Jesus, then let this account renew your gratitude for your salvation. You see, that end scene in the repair shop is emotional. because the person sees their precious object restored and made whole again. Well, before we met Christ, our lives were broken. Yet now he has restored us to fellowship with God. He's made us whole again. That good news should move us to tears. Our lives have truly and eternally been transformed by grace. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much that Jesus has paid it all. Thank you that he took our place, bearing our uncleanness and taking the punishment for that sin, even though he had never sinned. Thank you that he suffered and died in our place, so that through faith in him alone we could be cleansed from our sin and clothed in righteousness. Help us to rejoice in that good news today. And if we haven't embraced it in faith, help us to do that by repenting of our sin and believing in Jesus. We ask it in his name. Amen.